I want you to picture this morning Jeremiah standing inside the gate of the temple. And I want you to picture yourself standing next to him, watching all of the people going in and out. Because here comes a man who has just gotten done cheating his neighbor in a terrible business deal. He has done something to him that oppresses him, and he's certainly taken advantage of him in every possible way. But now this man is entering into the temple to worship the Lord and to give thanks for the things that he has just received. And now here comes a woman with her children. And just a little bit before this point, she offered up in sacrifice to Astarte, also known as Ishtar, however you want to name that false god. And her children also helped her by gathering together the wood that she needed to start the fire to bake the cakes that she offered up to that idol. But now she is coming with her children to the temple so that they might learn something about the Lord. And now here comes a priest who continuously says over and over again, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." And what he means by that is that God's temple is here, and it is proof that God loves them. It is proof that God is with them. Everything is going to be just fine because they have the temple. But then that priest goes into a secret room inside the temple, and he offers up incense to idols, along with the other priests, idols which have been set up inside the temple itself. And no matter what happens with all of these people, every one of them is coming as a hypocrite and with a hard heart before the Lord. That was the situation that was happening in Israel at the time of Jeremiah. The people were turning away from the Lord, turning to serve other gods, and yet they still claimed to follow after the Lord. They weren't ashamed for anything that they had done. They didn't know how to blush. They were doing it thinking that everything was just fine, that everything was going well. "We are wise," they said, "and the law of the Lord is with us." But maybe the worst out of all of them were the prophets and the priests who neglected their duty, who should have warned the people, calling them to repent of their sins. But instead they told them, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace. They told them, "Everything's fine. God is not angry with you, even if you don't change anything about how you live. You are forgiven, so don't worry about any of it." But like doctors who, instead of searching out the wound and making sure that it's clean before they wrap it up, just slap a bandage onto it and leave it at that, these prophets and priests were not healing the wounds of the people, the spiritual wounds of God's people, but instead leading them astray by the things that they were doing. "Peace, peace," they said, when there was no peace. And so God commands Jeremiah and says to him, "Speak. Speak the word that I am going to tell you, so that the people would turn from their sins and be saved." And our reading for today from Jeremiah chapter 8 is part of that sermon which Jeremiah gave in the hearing of the people in the gate of the temple. And he said to them to repent, that judgment was coming upon them unless they repented of their sins. And the Lord says to them, you know, you would expect someone to realize that what they were doing was bad. You would expect them to turn away from their sins. Just like a man who has fallen down, you could expect him to get up again. Or just like a man who goes away, you would expect him to come back again. Or like birds which migrate, which go south for the winter, we expect them to come home again in the spring. It's something we just assume is going to happen. And you would assume that God's people would turn away from their sins. You would assume they would recognize what they were doing. But they didn't. They held on to their sins. They held on to the deceit. They didn't want to turn away from it. Like a horse plunging into battle, they went ahead without thinking anything of it because their hearts had become hard. And so as a result of this, the great danger for them was their hypocrisy. Because the worst hypocrite, Christians, is the hypocrite who thinks that he's doing the right thing. The one who thinks that he is serving the Lord, even as he refuses to listen to anything that God has to say. And so judgment came upon Jerusalem, just like Jeremiah said that it would. Because the Babylonians came and captured the city and destroyed the temple and carried away the people into exile, just as God threatened would happen, because the people didn't listen to what God had to say. But the worst of it was that after they came back, nothing changed. Even in Jesus' day, he calls the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites and whitewashed tombs, the kind of people who say one thing and do another. And because he called them that, they killed him, crucifying the Lord of glory, so that he was put to death for his words. But after he rose again and ascended into heaven, God sent judgment upon Jerusalem again in 70 AD when the Romans came and destroyed the city and destroyed the second temple and scattered the Jews among the nations as they are to this day. Because Christians, it is a dangerous thing to be a hypocrite in the eyes of God. So Christians, Jeremiah is warning us, even today, of the great danger of hypocrisy. Because Jerusalem was destroyed twice because of it. And judgment will also fall upon all hypocrites at the end of days. So Jeremiah calls us to examine ourselves, to look at your own heart, and to examine it in the light of God's word. But let me ask you these questions to help you with that examination. Does being in this church, right here today, this morning, make you act differently than you do tomorrow morning? Do you act one way on Sunday morning and a different way on Monday morning? That's a very dangerous thing. Or, to ask a different question, if I wasn't a pastor and I met you as you're living your life, would you be the same person? Would I think that you were the same person as you are today? If not, why? We have to ask ourselves why that would be the case. Because hypocrisy is a dangerous thing. It brings judgment down upon us from the Lord. But Christians, in Christ, there is forgiveness. In Christ, there is life. In Christ, we become one person, not two, so that we are not one way on Sunday morning and a different way on Monday morning, but the same throughout all of our lives. Because Jesus Christ gives us the Holy Spirit so that we would be changed in our lives, transformed, made consistent in who we are. Jesus makes us the same person through all that we do, so that when we come to worship him on Sunday morning, we do so in spirit and in truth. And we worship him as the same person that we are in him. And then when we go back out to our daily lives, to Monday morning, we are still that same person because of who we are in Jesus Christ. So come, Christians. Come and hear God's word. Listen to what he has to say to you. And in Christ, you will be forgiven and a holy people as God has made you to be. Turn away from all evil. Turn away from everything that would keep you from the Lord. And return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Come to the Lord, and he will make you one person in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us your Holy Spirit to make us a new creation. We pray that you would give us the strength always to seek after you as one person, not two, doing one thing one way and a different thing another way, but seeking to worship you in spirit and in truth as you have made us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.